As they're heading over there, if you want to open up your copy of the scriptures to Psalm 125, or it's also in the bulletin, we're back after a couple weeks hiatus into the Psalms of Ascent, and I like our kids, by the way. It's kind of fun. It's fun. We're back in the Psalms of Ascent. We'll be in Psalm 125 this morning, and then we'll keep rolling along as the weeks go along. And I should say, by the way, too, as we're getting started, we missed you guys a lot, and we're glad to be back. There you go. I also miss being, like, right here. So it's hard for a preacher to sit in a service where you're not, for me at least, sit in a service where you're not preaching. Max, he might be just going crazy right now. Because you sit there thinking, what do I do with myself this whole time? It's kind of like if there have been times that I've had to sing someplace and haven't had a guitar or something. I'm like, what do you do with your hands? So I sit in a pew in another church going, okay, I'm doing my best. But anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you, and you can know I'm even more quirky than you thought. So Psalm 125, a psalm of ascents. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Some weeks back, I forget exactly how many weeks back now, outside of our house over there on Kenosha, there was lightning must have struck within a block or something in the woods over there. Just looking, I don't know where Danielle went, but anyway, there you are. You're hiding behind Bob. She was there. It apparently was one of the loudest lightning strikes ever. And Lily and Claire were completely destroyed by the thing. I mean, it was one of those where it just happens and everybody jumps, and there's a second of silence, and then just weeping breaks out because they were so... this is the story as it's told to me anyway. So they apparently were scarred for at least a portion of their life, because it wasn't too much longer that I was sitting in the room, in the living room reading or doing something, and all of a sudden, after a noise, here come Claire and Lily come running around the corner, and Claire is already crying, and Lily has these like eyes as wide as saucers. She goes, "What was that?" And I'm reading, that was Eva on the scooter. It rolled across the floor. And it took a second for them to kind of bring themselves back down, because as far as they were concerned, they heard something like thunder, and here comes the light. It's all just going to be terrible, and they were afraid. Now, the reality is that when we're afraid, we do really odd things. Sometimes because of our fear, we jump at the slightest new movement because we don't really know what it might be. And it's not just the case with kids and lightning. It's also the case with us and the way that we live our lives. When something changes, something new happens, we get this rumble of something, and it makes us afraid, and we jump. Because it exposes how much we want to know that we're safe and we're stable. Now look with me at the structure of this passage for a minute, the structure of the psalm. If we look in verses 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2 presents what, for lack of a better term, I'm going to call kind of the thesis or the theme of the psalm. And there we see that those who trust Yahweh from the heart, they're like Mount Zion. All right, they're stable, like the mountain where the temple sits. They're stable, they're strong. And the reason why they're stable and strong is because the Lord surrounds them. And then if we see in verse 3, the support of this thesis, that Yahweh is not going to allow injustice or unrighteousness to remain with his people. He's going to deal with it in order to preserve them, but to keep them safe and stable. Right? The thesis that God's people are safe and stable. This part of the support for it is that this is what the Lord's going to do to make sure that God's people stay stable. And then verse 4 of this hymn gives us the prayer, the hope of the worshiper in light of this idea. And what we see is this prayer, you know, Lord, be faithful to that reality. Right? The response of the people, Lord, make that so. Make things right and good for those that are aligned with you. And then we see in verse 5 the result of all of this. Those that reject God's rule, well, they're going to be led away. We have these ideas of judgment are piled up into that. But those that are good, those that embrace God's covenant from the heart. What we see there is that there's going to be peace. Peace upon those that are clothed by the Lord. God's people, those who trust in Him, we might say again, I say it all the time, that those that embrace Him from the heart, they're stable, they're safe. And the reason why is that they're surrounded by the Lord. Now that sounds like a nice idea, I think. Does anybody, everybody like that idea? Safe and stable. Safe and stable. There we go. I don't know what just happened there, but there's this lack of consonants. Anyway, being safe and stable sounds really good to us because we long for that. Now look at this. Look at the context, though. Why would that idea be so important for the original singer of the psalm? It's not hard to figure that out if we think about how shaky the historical context was. Now, it's actually still kind of the case if you watch the news, but Jerusalem has never really seemed all that stable. There's always been something going on, right? There's always been, I mean, there were good years. There was, David had some problems. Let's say Solomon. Solomon had some really good years. But then you've got the Assyrians, you've got the Philistines, you've got the Babylonians, you've got the Persians. Then there were the Greeks, then the Romans, and it just kind of goes on and on. In the history of this people, there's a lot of instability. Now, it may be that in light of that historical context, this is a people that would have been afraid. Because you might never know what's going to happen. Who's going to run over this town next? Who's going to come in and shake things up next? See, it might even explain why it's so common, if we look through the Old Testament, especially the prophets, where the people of Israel kept going, who will save us? Let's try Egypt. Now that makes sense, right? No, it makes no sense. But when we are afraid, we find ourselves doing things that don't make a lot of sense. Trying to lean on things that we think will make us strong, but don't. I mean, the Old Testament prophets even refer to Egypt as being like a rotten a cane that when you lean on it, it breaks and drives into your hand. But the people of Israel kept going, who will save us? Let's try Egypt. Let's be aligned with them. However, in reality, the stability of God's people was to be found in being rooted in and trusting in the Lord. Safety and stability was to be found in doing the things that He commanded, approaching life the way that He called them to approach life, to go after the proverbial good life in the way that He said to go after it. Now, we can't dismiss, though, how countercultural all of those commands would have seemed to that people. I mean, think for a minute. The commands of the Lord were such things as this, right? So if you want to be safe, you want to be stable, if you want your crops to do well, here's what I want you to do, people of Israel. I want you to give away the best of your flock and sacrifice them, right? Good. Okay, also, here's what you're going to do. I want you every week, you're working really hard, I want you to stop working for a day. This is the way to be productive and safe. I want you to stop working for a day. And if that's not enough, here's also, by the way, while you're doing that, I want you, let's say every 6 years of work, then take a whole year and don't cultivate your fields. This is the way to make sure you have everything you need. Stop cultivating your fields for a year. And then once a generation, here's what I want you to do. I want you to reset everything. And I want you to give the land you'd bought some land from somebody, I want you to give it back once a generation. We're going to reset things a bit here, get things back where I had them originally. Does that sound productive to you? And by the way, when you are cultivating your fields in those 6 days or during that set of years where it's okay, I want you to not cultivate the whole field. Leave some edges. Don't milk it for all it's worth. Now, those ideas, if you're fearful of being overrun, you're probably thinking what I need to do is I need to get everything I can out of this field. I need to suck every day for all it's worth, every week for all it's worth, because you never know what's going to happen. You never know what's going to come in and mess things up. There would have been, I think, severe temptations to keep the best to the flock, to milk the fields for every ounce of profit margin you could get, to align yourself with the strongest nation you possibly can, because that's the way to be safe and stable. That's what it would feel like. I think that would be the temptation. But stability actually comes from an enacted trust in the Lord. So the worshipers, as they're ascending the Temple Mount, singing a song like this, need to hear that. They need to have this idea sort of sensed into them as they're walking up the hill and they're seeing the mountains surrounding Jerusalem, and they're on this temple mount. They're going up there and they're hearing the song and they're singing the song and they're walking along with other worshipers. They needed to hear that those who trust in the Lord, those who do what Yahweh says, they're like Mount Zion. That's what they needed to hear over and over and over again, to sing it, to enact it, so that they don't forget that all these counterfeit attempts aren't going to lead them anywhere. As countercultural as it might seem to trust in the Lord, to do what he says, that's where safety and stability is found. But it's also worth, I think, pressing a little further to consider why that idea, that it's the Lord that brings safety and stability, I think it helps for us to push a little further to think, not just why would that be so important for people living in Israel in the midst of their turmoil. I think it also makes sense for us to question, why is that so important for us? Because see, best as I can tell, we've not escaped the problems of injustice and unrighteousness. Sometimes we've even perpetrated them. That's a different sermon. But not unlike the first singers of this psalm, we live in a shaky culture, don't we? I mean, we live in a world where there's stuff happening that we don't really understand. The culture's shifting and changing, and you've probably, anybody noticed changes in the culture? Okay, I've noticed them. We can talk about that later. But, I mean, this isn't the only culture. We should say this is not the only culture that's changed. Every culture's changed since cultures were cultures. There's always been shifting and changing. And ours is certainly doing that. Not all the changes are for the worst, but many of them are difficult, and some are very disconcerting. And it's hard to understand what we do with all that. It might even make us afraid of what could happen. What's coming? Now, in many ways, I think we're actually cycling through the same kinds of injustices and unrighteousnesses, if that's a word, that have been cycling since unrighteousness and injustice appeared. But I think it is also true, though, that maybe in ways that haven't been the same in the past, things are changing faster, or at least we see the changes faster because of the glories of the internets. So there's all of that. But even with a sense of historical perspective, cultural change is scary. And watching things happen where we don't understand or we don't know what could be coming makes us feel uncertain, unstable, right? Fearful. And maybe you don't notice that. Maybe it's just me and you're fine. And if so, thanks for enduring the sermon. But I think that the reality is that most of us, when we look at what things that are going on around us, it makes us feel sometimes afraid. And what we long to know, what we need to know, is that somehow in the midst of all of that, we're stable. It's going to be safe. So what do we do? Well, we need to do the exact same thing that this psalm did. We need to sing. And we need to listen. And we need to taste and touch. And continue to hear this message that those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. Those who trust in the Lord are safe and stable in the most fundamental of ways. In an even more profound picture than the mountains that surrounded Jerusalem, we have the risen Christ. We can look at Jesus and see that Jesus is the one who took on the frailty of the world, the frailty even of broken cultures. He lived in the instability of it. And he did all that, not just that he can go, I'm in there with you, but so that he might fix it. The work of Christ was not just one of solidarity. The work of Christ was one to actually do something about the shakiness and the instability of the world in which we live. Jesus is the culmination of the Lord answering this prayer of the psalm to do good to his people. It's Jesus who takes a bunch of shaky, fearful people and sets them on a sure foundation. It's Jesus who said in John 10, he said, I give them, speaking of his people, I give them eternal life and they'll never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. I think I mentioned once before when a pastor in Danielle in my life that's particularly special to us speaks in terms of being doubly enclosed in the hand of God, right? So we're in Jesus' hand. And then Jesus' hand is in the Father's hand. And you're not getting snatched out of there. You're doubly enclosed in the hand of God. Jesus is our even more sure picture of what it means to be safe and protected, even in a world that's shaky, even in a world that's not always just. even in a place where we still wait for the Father's will to be done on earth, just like it is in heaven. In the midst of all of that, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, who will not be moved. Now, if you've been around the church any amount of time, something like that probably sounds familiar. And again, it sounds good too. I mean, to say that we're safe and secure in Jesus, that seems right. But it also might be hard to know, like, what do you do with all that when you're not feeling the reality of it? Right? What do you do when we know that Jesus promises us that nothing can snatch us out of his hand? But when you're feeling the turmoil of a world that's changing, or whatever fears, you can plug in whatever fears you have into this, what do we do with that? Well, think back to the text of the psalm again for a minute. Did you notice that the problems in the psalm were coming from two different places? On the one hand, there's the shakiness that was coming from outside of these people, right? The injustices of those who oppress, the crooked, the ungodly. And I think that we feel this kind of shakiness, right? We hear the rumbles that come from what seems like the erosion of the rule of law in parts of the world. Maybe feels like that here. There's violence, there's political oppression around the world. There's all those things, and we feel the shakiness of that. We feel the shakiness of shifting mores in a culture that, for reasons that I don't understand, allow, you know, near porn on broadcast TV. We see that and we feel the ooginess of it. And what do we do with all of that? Now, we even see corners of the church acting in ways that make us scratch our heads, although they're probably scratching their heads at us too. But the temptation might be to see the shakiness outside of us and then to fearfully retreat, right? To fearfully retreat to what we think are safe and familiar enclaves. And that way we can sort of rail against the changes that we see. We can rail against the shiftiness that we see outside of us, sometimes by lobbing rhetorical grenades over the walls while we stay sort of in the trench, behind cover, feeling safe. And then for fear of how we might be misunderstood or miscategorized by those we want to call our allies, we might just hunker down in the seeming stalemate of cultural trench warfare. Because we don't feel safe, we don't feel stable, that might be what we do. But according to this psalm, those who trust in Yahweh, and I would say even more clearly those who trust in the Lord as he's revealed in Jesus, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, who will not be moved. They're stable, they're secure, because the Lord himself surrounds his people. But there is another problem in the psalm you might have noticed. Did you notice in verse 3? This is what this verse always makes me smile when I read this passage. Did you notice that in verse 3, the part of the Lord clearing out the unrighteous, why he was doing that? Because his people have this tendency of reaching out their hand and doing wrong, right? We have not just this problem outside of us, but we've got this problem inside of us too. God's people are prone to getting swept up in the unrighteousness that's around them. The problem of brokenness is inside of us, and we might feel that acutely too. Right? We might feel the shakiness of the world around us and feel like it's actually exposing our own questions and our own weaknesses, our own doubts. And fearful of exposure, fearful of failure, maybe fearful of the amount of effort it might take to resolve things, we might settle for a very safe atrophy. I'm going to be here. I'm going to not deal with that. And at first glance, that might seem counter to the point of the psalm, which is that we're safe, right? But I don't think that it is. I think it actually accentuates the point of the psalm. Because the stability and security that God's people have is even in the face of their own shakiness. It's even in the face of their own goofiness and tendency to stretch out their hands along with the unrighteous. The point is that so long as our trust is in the Lord, we don't have to be afraid even of the rumbles that we hear from within us, because the Lord surrounds his people. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. But let's see if we can pull those threads together now. That may be what we're all waiting for. You might remember that the question a minute ago was, how do we put feet to this idea of safety and stability? I'd like to offer an idea this morning. What if we were so convinced of our safety and stability in Christ. That we begin to act on the things that Jesus acted on, regardless of what we thought it might cost us. What I mean is that what if we decided, you know what? There's a mess in me. There's a mess outside of me. But those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. I'm safe and secure. I'm stable in Christ. So I'm going to go after the things that Jesus cares about, even if it costs me, even if it creates some questions for me, even if it means that people misunderstand me. I'm safe and stable in Christ. I'm going to go after the things that Jesus went after. I mean, I guess I wonder, I've been thinking about this week quite a bit, but sometimes I wonder if non-Christians think that we're crazy. Because so often we don't get on board with things that seem like fundamental emphases of Jesus. Now, I know it's more nuanced. There's lots of things that play in this, but I wonder if sometimes non-Christians go, why aren't they doing X, Y, Z if Jesus did X, Y, Z? And I think that sometimes we have reasons that are good and bad for that, but sometimes we don't do it for the sake of improper associations, right? Well, I know that Jesus cared about the poor, but those Baha'i faith people are involved in this thing, and I don't want to be aligned with the Baha'i faith people. I don't want people to think I am, because I'm not. Sometimes for the sake of associations, we bail off on things that Jesus cared about. And I should say, I think there are times when it's good and right to say, I can't be involved in that. I think that's true. But the thing that has been troubling me in my own heart is how often I don't want to do that thing because I'm afraid of what they'll think about me doing that thing. I'm fearful that maybe I'm not so stable. I really believe that our witness in the world would look different if at times we would say, you know what? I don't agree with you on this, but we'd agree together on this. Let's do this together. I can't go with you on what you believe about this thing, but you know what? So long as you're going after this thing over here, let's go. Maybe I can explain it this way. I desperately wish I had more conversations like the one I had about two years ago. I was sitting in an East Side coffee house across the table from a gay Buddhist man who was about to die of a heart defect. And as I sat across the table from this guy, he was telling me about the rocks that got thrown through his windows with messages about his eternal judgment on him. And he told me stories about the way that he was beaten up by people that identified themselves with Jesus in some way. And he told me about his impending death, and the whole time he's talking to me, his eyes just oozed with loneliness. And then he asked me this question. So what do you think about gay rights? And I took it, you want to know what I said, I'm sure, at this point, right? Here's what I told him. It really, in ways, sort of holding back my own tears, I said, you know, I can't tell you that homosexuality is what God designed for sexual intimacy. I can't, because I don't believe that's true. But what I can tell you is this. I will lock arms with you for the sake of your safety and dignity. And you can come to my house, and you can sit at my table, and you can play with my kids, and you'll be welcome there. And you know what? If you'll have me as a friend, that's your choice, I guess, but if you'll have me as a friend, I'll sit with you at the hospital. If you'll have me as a friend, you know, I'll love you no matter how deep our disagreements over sexuality grow. I just wonder if maybe more often, as God's people, we could say, no, I'm going to be honest with you about this, but I'm also going to get involved in hopefulness. We don't agree on this, but in so long as this overlaps, we can go after it together. I just kind of think that maybe that would do something for us. I just kind of think that that if we were so secure in Jesus, if we were convinced of the stability that we have in him, then we can engage the messiness of the world. I mean, we could dive right into it without being afraid of what that might mean for us. We can engage the world in all of its messy associations. So how do we put our feet, or how do we put feet to this idea of security and stability in Christ? I think we do it by taking the honesty and the hope of Jesus no matter where it takes us. I mean, what does Jesus care about? I'm going there with the honesty and the hope of Christ, because I don't have to be afraid of the instability that I see in the culture around me. I don't have to be afraid of the questions that I might have inside of me. And why is that? Not because I've got all the perfect answers for every group, but because the Lord surrounds his people. I can sit down with a gay Buddhist man who's about to die of a heart defect and not have to worry about what somebody might think about me as a PCA pastor sitting down with a gay Buddhist man with a heart defect. It means that I can go and jump in with caring for the poor, even if there are other people caring for the poor alongside me that I don't agree with. I can dive into the messiness of the world without worrying about my stability, because those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. You know, I've thought some about Lily and Claire's jumpiness over this whole lightning thing. And you know, the truth is, you know, at first I was like, oh, good grief, it's just lightning. And then I thought, well, you know, lightning does stuff, right? I mean, lightning splits trees. Lightning will shock you on occasion, right? They may not have gotten that completely, but they understood there's something dangerous to lightning. You know, when we think about the world that we live in and the world that's sort of inside us and the turmoil in both those places, the reality is that there are difficulties. There are major difficulties, and there are things that are messy, and there are things that are maybe even dangerous. Or I mean, there's this whole world. I guess what I'm saying is I recognize that, like lightning, if we jump into the messiness of the world, we could get hurt, and people very well could misunderstand. That's true. However, whatever we might find in our hearts as we do that, or whatever misunderstandings might be created, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Those who trust in the Lord with all of their stuff in tow are like Mount Zion, not because they don't have things to deal with, not because there aren't really big problems out there in the world, but those that trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion because the Lord surrounds his people. So I guess as I think about that idea, what it means for me to dive into the things that Jesus dives into without being so worried about the cost to me, I guess I want to invite all of us together to engage in the world around us in spite of our fears, to engage in the lives of people that are dying and need Jesus, even in spite of the things that we might be worried about associations. I mean, I'm going to admit to you this morning that I've got my share of jumpiness just like my kids do. There are things that I see around me that make me go, ooh, what will the presbytery think? There are times when I think, what will you guys think? But you know what? I'm determined that I'm going to try to grow in my willingness to follow Jesus into all the kinds of places that Jesus wanted to go. Not because I've got my act together, but because those that trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. Can I tell you guys this? I love you guys. And I want you to think well of me. I do, actually. But I want to go where Jesus goes. I want you to go with me. But if it comes right down to it, you know, I want to be smart, I want to be wise, all those things, but I'd rather be misunderstood and aligned with Christ than anything else. So I guess what I'm saying is what we need this morning is we need to keep singing psalms like Psalm 125 that remind us that we're stable, we're safe, because we're surrounded by the Lord. I need to keep singing that because I forget it quite easily, actually. And I suspect that you need to sing it quite a bit too. Because do we get fearful? Oh yeah, there are plenty of things rumbling around us that would make us fearful. But because we're surrounded by the Lord, we're strong, we're stable. We shall not be moved. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do live in a world that is changing. In many ways, it feels very scary. And Lord, what I think about the thoughts and questions that I wrestle with in my heart, that gives me room for fear too sometimes. May we be a people that believe that we're stable because we're surrounded by you. As those who trust in you, Lord, may we be more and more confident of our strength and stability so that we might go to the places that you are interested in going. Lord, we need strength for that. So now we turn our attention to the Lord's table. And we ask that as we go there, that our trust in you would be more and more established. So we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.